Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome back to Smell You Later, your favorite podcast about the state of my sinuses.
Yeah, or in your case, can't smell you later. I'm going to jail for that one, but
I will smell you later when I get my fucking sense of smell back. So watch out, world.
Smell you at some point.
At some point in the near medically intervened future.
Yes, I can smell.
Yes.
I smell enough
to smell for the both of us.
I am. I have been. I texted you about that one fragrance I won't name today, and I was like, how do you feel about it? And Sabo was like, I can't smell shit and haven't for weeks. And I was like, you're not missing anything.
I had a feeling. I knew. I asked my BF to smell it for me. He was over and I was like, what does it smell like? What does it smell for? So, like, in the most ironic turn of events, I have received the most beautiful fragrance mailers in the last week of all the shit that I've been dying to smell.
From who?
Boy Smells Vanilla Era.
Oh yeah,
the new Kaeli Oudgasm collection, the Victoria Beckham fragrances. What else? There's other ones. The new Hawthorne fragrance. And he came over and I was literally like, smell this. Tell me what it is. And he's like, I don't know. It's like sweet. And I'm like, God, what good are you? I didn't say that, but I was just like, oh, you're trying. We're gonna build it. Okay.
Yeah.
The fact that I actually have him wearing fragrance now is huge.
Listen, I got a man to wear sunscreen, which I still can't believe.
I have not toppled that hurdle yet, but we are getting there.
You will.
I put sunscreen in his house, so it's in there. Now I just have to get it on his face.
Exactly. Baby steps. I have all of those aforementioned scents except the Kaeli ones, and I'm dying for them.
It's so funny how they will... I feel like the Kaeli PR will get in touch with you or me for different launches, so we'll never really get the same launches.
It's like, all I talk about is Kaeli. Yeah. Mona and I are personal friends. We DM all the time, and I have to fucking beg the PR for the fragrance. Yeah, like,
I know.
Honey. Anyway.
But that collection looks really exciting, and I'm like...
It does. And you know what? Kaeli doing Ouds is so exciting, and it feels like As Taylor Swift said, it's been a long time coming. I'm the only person to ever say that. But I was sort of like, yeah, I'll get to these when I get to them. And then when I saw it, I was like, oh, there's an oud coffee and an oud vanilla. And I was like, let me fire up my Gmail. I have some shit to smell. I'm really excited.
Yeah, I think she also has a Bécor in that collection.
She does. And I don't know what that is. And I never will.
It's the wood that oud is from.
Okay.
And you burn it like incense.
That's sick.
Yeah, it sounds
that's great.
So amazing. I remember on our episode with her, she had mentioned that's like a household staple.
Yep.
And she was like, I'll send you some. And I'm like, what? And they're like, oh, because you're making a product. Okay. Now I get it. I was like, oh, you're making the product. Got it. I'll probably
try to eat it again.
Yeah.
I can't wait for you to smell Vanilla Era. Ugh.
I sprayed it into the, I don't know. I just test myself. I sprayed it into the box and inhaled just like a huge whiff and nothing. And part of me's like, really? Not even a headache? Come on.
That's so funny because you're going to smell that fragrance.
Yeah. It's insane. Although, I don't know. It's been literally 3 weeks now. I have a doctor. I have an appointment with my doctor tomorrow just to be like, look at my blood. Tell me what's up. It's so funny. My ENT is really close to a coffee shop I go to. So twice now I run into my ENT getting coffee. And it's so funny. And then we're just like, hey. And then I was like, see you soon, probably. He's like, oh no, are the nasal sprays not working? And I'm like, yeah, no shit, they're not working, dude. What's Flonase going to do?
Can you taste?
No.
Oh my God.
It's a world of just food textures. I've been just living in my head alone in a little vacuum, disassociating. What's really weird is that I can smell in my dreams. That's weirdest shit.
Crazy.
I have dreams where I'm trying to smell a perfume and I can smell it. It's so fucking weird.
That's odd.
And then like for a minute, I'm like, oh my God, it's back. And then I wake up and I'm like, ah, no, it was just a dream. Damn.
Prayers up for your sinuses.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll get to the bottom. I'm gonna get to the bottom.
You know what I got today just now?
What?
a bottle of Crystal Saffron.
Wait, yeah. Did you ask for vinyl powder?
No, can we say that? No, they've talked about that.
Yes, it's already out. It's public.
I asked for vanilla powder and they're like, we don't have that yet, but we can send you Crystal Saffron because Sable loves it. And I was like, okay, can someone help me out here? I know. I'm very excited. You know what I will say? The type treatment on that label is cunt. I know it's just big black letters, but it's so fucking cool. Just the way that they did that, I was like, someone is paying attention.
Yes. At first I was like, is this a little Byredo-y?
Mm-mm, no. It's beautiful. It's stunning. It's so simple. It's so austere and it's so stunning. I love the look of letters.
I love to read. we love to read perfume bottles.
We do.
Wait, you've smelled Crystal Saffron before.
Yeah, on you. I've just never smelled it on myself. And that thing is so strong. I know that you can't, you obviously can't smell anything out of the atomizer. But I took the cap off, didn't even spray it, and I got a full whiff. I was like, damn.
Okay. That one in particular, I feel, is quite strong. The same with Bois de Ben, which is their Palo Santo scent. What Parisian Musk, also one of my Matier Premier favorites, got a Allure Vestibidi Award for best woody scent. And I was like, huh?
What?
This is a figgy, it's a dewy green figgy scent. What the heck are you talking about?
People just be saying shit. Whatever.
And the hero noted that fragrance is ambrette. So it's meant to be a musky skin, the kind of a skin scent ambrette, which also I'm like, not that, but what's funny is that I wore it to a dinner a couple of weeks ago at Rule of Thirds, and I was like walking into the restaurant and somebody was walking out and he goes, ooh, Santal. And I was like, what?
Ew.
And he's like, oh, like it smells just, are you wearing Santal 33? It smells just like it. And I was like, no, it's called Parisian Musk. And he's like, that's so interesting. And I was like, how dare you?
I'd have maced him.
I have to ruin your life now. Okay. Right. But then I was like, wait, is this just like the black and blue and white and gold dress situation where some people smell like woody and some people smell fig? What the heck?
You've always said the fig is really powdery, so maybe so maybe they're not smelling fig at all. Maybe they're not connecting it to fig at all, but also powdery and what? Yeah, I don't know, that's odd.
Yeah, I was so perplexed, but I don't know. I love looking at the Best of Beauty winners, having participated in myself and knowing like
which ones paid for them,
which ones are rigged. But fragrance is generally not that rigged. They'll give like a Lancome or like a YSL.
Yeah, of course, of course.
Yeah, they're like brand partnerships, which are fine. But usually they do pick a lot of interesting, I don't know.
I was pleasantly surprised by their fragrance picks this year. I was like, okay, someone's paying attention. Should we pull it up or not?
Yeah, let's just.
Okay, here. And I will say, this is by and large a really great selection. So shout out to Allure. Oh, so Vert, purple.
Yeah.
Purple afternoon. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. It's so good.
You know what's funny is that they have a scent called Purple Noon and Régime de Fleur has a scent called Purple Afternoon. Wait, is it Purple Afternoon?
Universal Flowering has Purple
Universal
Afternoon.
Flowering. That's right. I'm so sorry.
So this is Purple Noon. That's Purple Afternoon. But it does seem like what's someone didn't Google. Noon?
What is that reference? What's going on here?
So that is a sleigh, Matier Premier, Parisian Musk, Byredo, eyes closed, get it together.
That was like a swerve.
Dias and Dargo, Pistachio, yes, absolutely. Sniff Tarte Deco, another cherry, we celebrate that. Flora Solar Power, we don't acknowledge her. Diptyque, Le Papier, give me a fucking break. I'm sorry.
It does fit the bill of best musk fragrance.
Oh.
It's not my personal pick, but it does fit the bill.
They're wrong. Best Discovery Kit Air AEIR. That's a really solid pick.
They're so beautiful. The little metal atomizer it comes in is so beautiful.
Yeah, candle personalized Scent Lab. You know what? I've gone to Scent Lab events. They've been very accommodating to me. I've actually never personalized a candle, but I should. Mm-hmm. But I love the personalization aspect. Nothing is really grabbing me anymore. But this is a really stacked, solid list. Obviously, we're not going to agree with everything because we are loud and opinionated. But someone came to work today. You know what? Speaking of me hating Diptyque, please come on the show. I know that everyone likes Dasan, and that's just a fragrance that it's just not something I'd respond to. So I don't think it's good or bad. It's just not for me. My BF, since we're doing that, sprayed that on and he's always like, what do you think I'm wearing? I'm like, I don't know every fragrance in the world, but it turned out to be Dasan. And I was actually surprised by how much I liked it, because without knowing what it was, because I don't like it on me, it smelled like Easter Lily, which I really do like. on him. Okay. And I was like, fuck, that is nice as long as it's not on my skin. So maybe I was pulling the wrong things out of it when I was wearing it. But yeah, I guess I'm going to have to shut my mouth about that one because because also you can't, not that it matters, it's like the one thing I know about fragrance, but you can't extract anything from Easter lily. So every lily that you smell is in a quart. And I don't even know what they claim to have put in that. And I very well might not be a lily at all, but I really enjoy it. So I love to change my opinion.
You're in your mind-changing era.
I am in my mind-changing era. I'm in my giving it up to God era.
And that's on growth.
And that's on growth. Two bros, orange blossom, jasmine, and amberwood. So, okay, I suppose I can see how I got to where I got with it. But shout out to Diptyque.
They do have some nice scents.
They really do.
I think I just feel like a little detached from them because I don't hear from... It's like, I never hear from you. Why don't you call... No.
They do pitch me. And I'm like, I wouldn't pitch me if I was you. So thank you.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I have a feeling I think at this point, you actually write more about fragrance than I do. It makes more sense that these people are in your inboxes. I think everyone's just, she hasn't had a byline in years.
Okay, but you post more about fragrance than I do.
Yeah, it is true. But that's not what they want. They want the editorial coverage so they can go back to their clients and be like, look what I got for you.
Like, I think you probably won't because you're not possibly gay like I am. But does the underwear brand for men named Charlie mean anything to you?
Absolutely not.
They're like the Victoria's Secret for gays in that they just make grossly overpriced underwear.
Cool.
And there's nothing special about them. Anyway, where I'm going with this is they are putting out a fragrance as of this week. And I'm like, now what the fuck are you doing? So I am extremely curious as to one, why. I mean, I know why. But two, what it's going to smell like, and three, like, for who?
I think people are just like, fragrance is booming, we should launch a fragrance.
I agree, I
think that's the way that beauty works now, because it's become accepted into the regular economic, I don't know what you call it, like rat race. So they're like, all right, let's get in while they get in's good.
Yeah.
So, and meanwhile, nobody wants this.
Yeah, exactly. I'm really interested into just all of that. But I guess, like, you put anything in front of rich gays and put like a big price tag on it, it's going to sell itself. It doesn't matter what it smells like.
Very true.
I can say that.
Everybody's coming out with a fragrance now. Everybody. Yeah. Not us, though, because no one will do it. I do still really want to do a limited edition fragrance for like book merch.
You should.
Yeah. I have to figure out like how to do that. Me emailing all of our contacts. You would think it'd be easy. We have so many contacts.
Costs a lot of money to make a fragrance.
Exactly. It's mostly that. I'm like, hi, I'm poor. Help me.
And like, no one wants to do it without anything in it for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Which I mean, get, but stop. Stop. Just
there's. You've been talking about a limited edition fragrance component for the book for forever. So I think it's doable. I think we just have to figure out how we get you there. And we can.
No, we totally can. I think I have to do a lot more pavement pounding digitally. Mm-hmm. It's just me being lazy. I'm like, let me write it before I fucking think about promoting it.
Now you wrote it, so.
I have written it. It has been written. It is nearly done, and I have lost my mind in the process. So.
That's really crazy, though. So what next? What now?
Now it goes into copy editing and book design cover, which is like a whole other thing, which I'm like... Yeah, I can't.
We don't really have to get into it.
Do you want to? No, I honestly don't. But
I'm sorry, I know I've asked you this before and like probably on air, but for copy edits, how involved are you in that? Is it just like step change or?
It's just like stuff for repetition, cadence, sentence structure that makes sense, little typos and grammatical stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, nothing huge, but I can still make changes in this stage. So
when is like the drop dead date?
I want to say maybe December-ish.
Oh, so it's done.
Yeah. I don't, it's as cooked as it's going to be. At a certain point, I have
so
to.
So are you,
like,
I feel.
Yeah. You know, there are some parts where I was like, this hits. And then there's some parts I'm like, this is not hitting and I don't know how to make it hit. And I hate that I don't know how to make it hit. So I'm just writing around it so many times to try and spiral around the point I'm trying to make. But whatever. You know what?
It's going to hit. Everything hits differently for everyone.
Exactly.
And you know what? You can't look at the same shit for too long because you're going to hate it. You know what I mean? That's why I tried not to over edit or read through something I've written over and over again where I'm like editing different parts of it, because you just start reciting it to yourself. It's hard to edit your own shit anyway, but yeah, your book is going to be great.
It'll be a book. And that's it. I'm putting no grand expectations for reception. I just want to get it done and be like, cool, I did that. Great. Now I can move on with my life. If it goes well, amazing. If it doesn't go well, I tried it. Okay, cool.
How many pages is your Word doc? Can you tell me? We can cut it out.
I think it landed around 270, 275-ish.
Damn.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it'll be a quick read. I don't know. It's not that dense. It's not that deep. It's a little deep. It's not that deep. We'll see.
We love it.
Again, I'm just like, let me just get this done and never fucking do this again.
You don't think you'd ever write another one? Knowing what you know now.
I don't know if I would write a nonfiction book again.
Sure.
But I also don't want to write a whole novel manuscript for free before I sell it.
Absolutely not.
We'll see. We shall see. I honestly didn't even know I'd be writing a book at this point in my life. So I feel like everything I've accomplished in my entire life is someone being like, hey, have you ever thought of this? And I'm like, sure, I'll give that a try. And here we are.
Yeah,
with a smell podcast.
You manifested this book on this show. It was the Gap Dream episode.
I did. Wow, that's a very good memory. How little I knew then. It looks so easy when you see other people doing it, because all you like on the socials, they're like, oh my god, here it is. But like, you don't know what like the day to day.
I'm sorry, people who talk about writing a book, I'm like, literally find anything else to do. I don't want to hear about your process. That's corny. No. I don't want to hear about my process.
No one has a process. Everyone's bullshitting.
Right.
You think you have a process. You can try having a process, but ultimately it's going to come when it comes. And there's only so much control you have.
God, I was just like, not that writing a book has been so deprioritized and like the shit that I want to accomplish in my life and career. And that's, I'm totally at peace with that. But I was thinking about you and just like what you're going through and experiencing right now this past week. And I was like, God bless. I would not want to be in her shoes. Like,
I don't want to be in my shoes. I just want to walk around and smell things. All I want to do in my life.
Right. Leave me alone. We can't wait. It's out next spring.
If everything goes to schedule, around like July 2024. So this coming July.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
If it all goes to schedule, who knows? Maybe. I don't know. Who knows? I don't know. But I really hope that I can make a perfume in that time.
I'm sure you can.
Yeah. Like brainstorming the merch ideas is really fun, actually. So,
I love that.
It's fun. Yeah.
It's the most fun part about it.
As we talk about brands launching too much shit, I'm like,
it's okay when we do it.
It's only okay when I do.
We're not a brand. We're fucking people.
That's fair. That's fair.
You know what I mean? Like,
the volume is so much less damaging.
Book launch merch is different than another fluorescent. And I can say that because they won't respond to my emails anyways.
Yeah. I have a mountain of fragrances like in my clutter mountain that I'm like, get ready to get smelled soon.
You will. You will be smelling. Should I even ask you what you...
I don't know what I smell like. we're remote, but if we were in person, I would have just been like, tell me what I smell like.
Are you wearing anything?
I don't think I am. What's funny is I slept over... I will not sleep over anyone's house, regardless. I always have my little toiletry pouch that's ready to go. So I just pack it with me. It has like all my skincare stuff. And I just in the morning doing my skincare and slapping on moisturizer and sunscreen and whatever. And then he smelled my face and he goes, you smell nice. I was like, what does it smell like? And he goes, I don't know, soap. And I was like, God, you're so bad at this.
Yeah, soap, God.
I need you to be my nose. Please.
I love that.
I think that's just, I don't know, that's a lot of boys in general.
That is true.
I don't know. So like, all right, I guess it could be worse.
The fact that he even acknowledged his sense of smell is one better than most.
Exactly. But I also noticed I haven't really been wearing fragrance as much because I just forget about it.
Yeah,
I forget to put it on now, and then I'll be doing an errand and then be like, "Ooh, I forgot to put it." It's like when you like forget to put deodorant on. Ooh, I forgot to put fragrance on. But one day. But Tynan, what do you smell like today?
As the one of the two of us who can smell, I am wearing the brand new Portofino 97 by Victoria Beckham.
Ooh.
Yeah. So if you are not aware, Victoria Beckham just released a trio of fragrances. I have to actually get the concept right, people, but I heard some conflicting things, and I don't want to say something perverted if I'm wrong. Let me get back to you on that. But there's this one called, I'm going to mispronounce this, Sonia Cedar Drive. And I thought that was the one that I was going to love because it has this note of passion fruit in it, which I'm obsessed with. Mm-hmm. And we had a passion fruit summer and all of that. And it was really good. I really liked it. It was really heavy on the rose, but it was nice. But I saved Portofino 97 for last because I was like, okay, Portofino, bergamot, I know what this is going to be. And I was, again, so wrong. I sprayed it on and was really stunned by how just beautiful it is. It's absolutely delicious. It rips open with this just extremely sweet, extremely nectary, beautiful, vibrant, tropical note or accord or just feeling that mm-hmm. I was like, whoa, this is really great. And that sort of burns off after an hour or two. And it is fresh and I don't know, like beachy, spicy, earthy. It's really nice. It has Calabrian bergamot, black pepper, white sheets, incense, mm-hmm. amber, patchouli, vetiver, and supposed to be like lingering on the skin of your lover. And yeah, a lot of ideas happening here, but it's definitely not what I thought it was going to be being named Portofino in the best way. I mean, we've seen that in essentially every fragrance.
Yeah, it makes me think of the Tom Ford.
Tom Ford. Oh my God, what is the one I'm thinking of? The very Italian Acqua di Parma. Really, it's not a new idea, but this is a new approach to it. And my God, do I really like it. And all three of the fragrances, Santa Cedar Drive, Portofino 97, and the one I have not mentioned, Sweet 302, are just really just delightful wares. The few people that I've talked to that have worn them have been like, yeah, they're really good. And then I wore them and I was like, what are you people talking about? These are great. And I will say that also a nice through line of the collection is they really do have this wear. And I know this is not unique to this collection, please, but it is more pronounced with this collection that there is a sort of distinct opening heart and base to them. And they really do evolve on your skin. I know all fragrance does, but these, it's more obvious. And I don't know. And the wear is really nice. I don't actually know what the price point of these is yet, but I will.
They're out now, right?
I believe that they are out now, but I will spray these on in the morning or afternoon, then I will still smell them on myself the next morning. Wow. And that's not to say they're strong, but they definitely have a lot of longevity. And I think that's a really hard thing to get to. If like, it's not going to choke you out, but it is going to last. So yeah, I think this is great. I think I didn't really know what Victoria Beckham as a brand was going to give us. And I think a lot of times when brands like this go into fragrances, okay, yep, you have a three florals. Yeah. Hooray. But these, I have a very unique perspective. I think they're just ambitious enough while being still familiar enough as well. I will say that there's, throughout the three of them, there's a lot of rose happening, a lot of incense happening, a lot of pepper, but it's really done in three different ways. So yeah, I mean, I am really excited and impressed by them.
Mm-hmm. And this is not... This isn't her first fragrance launch.
I think this, no, it is not, but I think it's her first under the Victoria Beckham brand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because her and
David Beckham has a shit ton of fragrances.
Yeah, I think they're done by different partners. But yeah. I think even before that or in line with that, she did one or maybe a few along with him. And then they phased hers out. They maybe kept his going, but his are not as... Again, I don't know the price point. I should. His are not like quite as luxury as hers are, but these are definitely like, these aren't just, oh, I'm doing fragrance again under the same way. It's a new venture, I feel.
Yeah. I'm like trying to look it up on Fragrantica and it's all David Beckham stuff.
So hers are $200, which is not inexpensive, but it's not what I thought it'd be. Yeah. These are, I'm really excited about these.
Nice.
Yeah.
I wonder what David Beckham's fragrance would smell like. Just like
hopefully never mind. Tell me this generic man,
licensed name, fragrance.
Yep.
I guess, was he at one point like the highest paid footballer? I don't know. Obviously, he was like one of the big stars of it, but
yeah, probably.
Yeah, I'm sure that takes you far, like financially.
Something else I'm really excited about is our guest today.
Yes,
Keita from Our Side is joining us. And if you don't know Our Side, they are a much newer than I realized brand out of New York, but influenced by many places around the world. And you've probably seen the bottle on Instagram. If your feed looks anything like ours does, it's a glossy black bottle with a very bright, bold chartreuse label. It's a collection of three scents made here in New York. And yeah, it is this up and coming indie fragrance darling. And I was lucky enough to meet the founder, Keita, in the, I think, late spring, early summer, and had this really lovely exchange. And I'm actually surprised it took us this long to get her on the show. But I'm so happy she's here today.
Yeah. You originally gave me their discovery kit, which was like 3 cents. And I was like, oh, cool. And I really love Dusk. These are like really well done. And like, this is a really cool, even like the, it was, it looked like a matchbook.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The carton was really nice, right? Yeah.
So I was like, oh, this is legit, dude.
Yeah. And again, when she sent me the discovery kit, you and I are lucky enough to essentially not wear something new every day. We get a lot of a new shit doing what we do. And hers were fragrances that I was really excited to wear and really excited to go back to. It just felt like a little piece of something super unique, something very New York, something very young and fresh. And I am sure that's a feeling that people get from many different products and brands, but what I got from this. And yeah, I feel like it's, this episode is long overdue.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
I'm Keita, and I'm the founder of Our Side, and we create small batch scents in the Bronx in New York.
Love that.
Sick.
And Keita, what do you smell like today?
Right this second, I probably smell like the samosas I just ate, but fragrance-wise, I smell like our moon dust scent. And yeah, that's about it. I pretty much stick with one of our three fragrances because I have to represent the brand.
I would too if I had my own brand. So
yeah, you have to like douse yourself. I had a meeting with a banker today and I was like, sometimes I layer two of our fragrances, Nostalgia and Moondust, but I feel like it's like coming off strong. But I'm like, you have to know before I meet you, like what I do.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. Yeah.
She smells like she has a fragrance brand.
Yeah, exactly. It's probably just like, you smell strong.
I feel like most of our listeners will already be familiar with Our Side, or at the very least have seen the brand on Instagram. But maybe to the uninitiated, do you just want to give us a rundown of what Our Side's about?
I would love to, because we're very new. So we launched in January. So I've been working on the idea for a while, but yeah, we haven't been around for that long.
Wait, I thought you'd been along for so much longer.
Me too.
No, yeah. I mean, I've been working on the idea, but yeah, we launched in January. So it's a baby brand-wise. But basically, long story short, we create fragrances that are unusual. I would say, I guess they lean into the niche and unisex, however you want to call it, piece. But the idea behind the brand has a lot to do with my upbringing, always feeling like an outsider and wanting to create a world of our own and just doing it through scent and through fragrance and through story, because I feel like those are all really powerful connectors. So that's a little bit of the how we got started. But of course, there's a longer story too that I can always go into.
We want to hear every story.
Yeah. Was this always where you imagine going down the pathway of founding a fragrance
brand? 100% no. Yeah, no. So I grew up in Dayton, Ohio. I cannot claim New York. I wish I could, but I'm from Ohio. My mom is Jamaican. She has that immigrant mindset of, I grew up thinking, oh, doctor, lawyer, one of the three kind of jobs that you're allowed to have. I went to college, but I studied random things. And then I went to work for big companies, Kraft Heinz and then Carnival Cruise Line, completely the corporate route of, let me just find a job where I can learn stuff, basically. And then went to get my MBA. I'd been working for 4 years, went to school for 2 more years. And it was while I was there that I started working on this idea for Our Side because of the culmination of all these things. But to your point, a total fragrance and beauty outsider, never really been a ton of a perfume person. I love scent and that's tied to a lot of my memories, and same with story and daydreams, but I never really found my place within the perfume world until I started to learn more about niche and indie fragrances and people who are experimenting and doing different things within this space that kind of resonated more with me.
I feel on that same tip, we're immediately going into the questions that we did not brief you on, but I feel like on that same tip, Sable and I, and I'm sure you grew up with essentially department store fragrances, basically. Totally. And then there were the luxury fragrances that were sold in the very high-end department stores or boutiques or whatever. I'm from the Midwest and I grew up not in like Chicago. So mm-hmm. I didn't really have access to anything other than the department store fragrances. But now you are entering the market where more and more it seems like the niche, or quote unquote niche, is the standard almost. Mm-hmm. How has that experience been for you?
Yeah, I think it has shifted a lot. I think for me, the way I think about it, like there's a whole wide world of scent and fragrance. And we're, I would say, I guess we venture on the niche, but not super crazy. I always think of fragrance as a way to express myself and it's like a vibe, but we never set out to create fragrance for like experimentation's sake. I think when I think about a lot of scent and how I envision this whole category, I think you have totally commercial scents to your point. My sister used to wear, what's a Britney Spears bottle that was pink and it has little rhinestones on it or something?
Fantasy.
Yeah, Fantasy, exactly. Until she like got headaches from wearing that. That was her thing, you know, sweet, sugary, like all of that. And that super commercial is how I use some of those fragrances. And then you have all the way over to people who are experimenting with, how do we recreate the scent of lightning as it strikes the ground? And to me, that's very interesting, but it's just creating fragrance from the more technical piece. And for me, it's never been about that. So it's more like, how can we reimagine, almost like music, like you have a limited set of chords and notes and stuff. And just like fragrance, there's a limited notes and chords, but how can you put that together in an interesting way? So you come up with something that suits you better, because I felt like I grew up only having the option of these like super feminine fragrances. And for me, I liked my dad's Burberry for him. Mm-hmm. I liked my mom's Gap Dream or whatever, but I didn't feel like I was empowered to, like I didn't feel empowered to wear those things to school because I was already the weird kid who has this immigrant mother who came from Canada, who doesn't fit in any way. And so that's why I wanted to bring them to the forefront, because I love the smell of my mom's cooking with bay and clove and all of this. I didn't have the confidence, or to your point, it wasn't accepted yet, for us to be like, hey, I like the smell of patchouli, even though like I don't see myself as a hippie. So like, what does that mean for me? How can that be a part of my everyday life?
Mm-hmm. That's so funny. I don't know. The fact that we all, I feel like a lot of people who grew up, I don't know how old you are, but I feel like you're in the same realm as
I'm 30. I look a little younger than I am just because I have like big cheeks, but that's it.
It's the melanin blessing.
Yeah, true. You're right.
But it's so cool to see this next generation that I feel, obviously how it always happens, the previous generation birthed of fragrance and fragrance founders and fragrance ideas, that everything was so same and everything, to your point, was so gendered and just traditional, that now I feel like everyone's just so hungry for something unique and different and original. And some people like you are, you know, doing it themselves. It's nice to be here finally.
Yeah, I agree. And I think we'll probably come full circle where it's going to go a little bit crazy, and then it'll come back to some happy medium where mm-hmm. we can have all of the above. But I am glad that there's more space for that retailers are interested in mm-hmm. bringing different visions to life, that people are fine with experimenting and wanting to like change their signature scent to something that they feel is really them, not just what they were gifted when they were like 16. So I agree, it's an exciting and interesting time for sure.
Totally.
Yeah, you're right. I think we're in the probably like the most expressive era of like beauty in general, but especially fragrance, which is mm-hmm. it's really cool to see how you don't have to claim a signature fragrance. A fragrance doesn't have to determine like your identity or your personality, or it could if you want to, but I could see that also making it more difficult because you're throwing your bid into a ring that's so saturated, or becoming so saturated as it is, which is why whenever I see brands that have a very curated selection, I love that, because I'm like, okay, they mean something. It's not just, we have our floral, we have our woody, we're putting out our fruity. Like the concepts to me are so much more interesting that way. So, and especially having three, I feel like three is an especially exclusive set. So how did you decide these are the three, or were there more and you pared them down, or did you always have your mindset on these three guys?
Off that, to spin off that, I do want to know exactly what Sable's saying. What did you envision? We did brief on this for once, but mm-hmm. what did you envision your sense being, and how did you get there with the three? I just want to tack that on because they're probably the same question.
Okay, yeah, that is a good question. So I think overall, yes, it was three. I don't really know. Normally, I'm the person that like analyzes things to death. And it's weird for me with scent. It's like the first job or thing that I've done where I just go with my gut and what mm-hmm. I feel, which has been really rewarding in this weird way. But it was always three for me because I wanted to start with like a capsule, something small, like something where we had enough sense that we showcased what could be possible, that we're all tied in by a theme, but that also wasn't like we're just trying to tackle the whole world of everything. Because to your point, I feel like that's really ambitious and like often not done super well. And I'm cognizant of the fact that we're putting something new into the world. So I wanted whatever we created to actually feel different and fresh and special. And so I felt like three was that happy medium where we could create sense for different days of how you're feeling. And that's kind of enough, right? Like three is like, it's a magic number. It's enough, not too much. And it's enough for us as a small business to also manage and also to make sure that we don't have a ton of waste. Because I think this is like on the more recycling rant side, but I think a lot of brands, just to your point, try to create a lot so that they have this set to be more commercial. And I personally feel like it leads to a lot of waste. And so like we create things small batch, and yes, we'll scale up eventually when we understand what works and what doesn't. But I never want to create like 15 fragrances and say, okay, we have these 15, we put them all out, but like only 5 of them people purchase. Like that would suck. And that's not really great for the environment. So
yeah,
I felt like three was like this like place where we wanted to start. But in terms of the more creative side, as I mentioned, I definitely don't come from beauty. I'm not the perfumer, which is good for everyone. I'm not making these concoctions in my apartment. So I'm working with somebody who's trained, who does things according to the IFRA standards. But for me, the three scents, so our three fragrances, for anyone who doesn't know, are called Moondust, Dusk, and Nostalgia. And they're all inspired by daydreams. But I would say for the first one, for all of them, they have one foot in a dream, like one foot in reality, with this little nod to nature is how I would describe our scent signature if I had to. But basically, it was like these daydreams that came to me, which sounds so weird. I'm like not a woo-woo person for the most part. But for Moondust, I would say the feeling and like the inspiration and the story is all about like a tame early days Burning Man feeling. I think it reminds me of the first time I ever smoked weed from like a bong, and I had this amazing high where, I don't know if this is allowed. Oh my God.
Oh, this is totally allowed.
Like, wait, you can bleep it out if not. But I had this head buzz and a buzz in my toes, and I felt Moondust is all about capturing that moment where it's suspended in between, where like you have your bare foot on the warm pavement, but you could also feel like you could float away at the same time. That is the feeling that I wanted to create with Moondust. I would say Dusk is very different. It's very about this late night vibe when you're out. And this is all my imagination. I don't do these cool things necessarily. This is the way I live through my daydreams. But you're out and you're in this dark bar in the day that has like all these pool tables and stuff. You're like wearing a leather jacket. The bar kind of smells like American spirits and whiskey and bourbon and stuff. And it's after you leave the bar, you walk into this field and it's by a lake, and in the distance there's this bonfire, so you can smell the smoke that's wafting your way, and you're like vibing with the other people's energy by that bonfire. But like you kick off your shoes and you decide to just toss off your jacket and lie in the water, and it's that feeling where you're, I don't know if you've ever done this, but when your head is below water and your ears are below water, so all of the sound is muffled and you feel your hair just floating. It's that's the whole Dusk feeling. So it's like smoky and a little bit boozy without being super sweet, but a little bit green because it's that time of night where the dew could come on the grass. So like that's Dusk. And Nostalgia like falls in the same fashion. Nostalgia is inspired by a story that my mom would tell my sister and me growing up a lot about her first time, or so she says, smelling midnight blooming jasmine. But it's like my interpretation of that story of hers. So they're all very different, but all inspired by this kind of like feeling of one foot in the city, like one foot outside.
Oh, I love that so much.
That's funny. Dusk is my favorite one. And when I smelled it, it reminded me so much of my summers when I was a teenager. And that feeling of driving back from a day at the beach, it's 7:30. The sun is still out, but it's starting to set, but not quite. And you have that golden hour. And then you have that nap. The nap after the beach before dinner is like, ugh. When you know you're like, we're going out after this, but I'm going to take this little post sun nap. It's like the best fucking feeling.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Oh my, I'm going to use that. Don't mind me if I do.
Please go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
But I immediately got that hit of nostalgia from that, from Dusk. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Isn't that weird? That's what I love so much about scent. I'm not a traditional like beauty person. And so I love that fragrance is this way that I can connect with myself, with other people. It's tied to so many of my memories. For me, it's not a how things look, but it's a how they felt and how they smelled when I remember back to childhood or whatever. So yeah, totally agree.
So I'm curious, you've talked about being an outsider in fragrance, and I feel like a lot of people are inspired by fragrance, but very few create their own fragrance brand. So What led you to create Our Side? And when did you know? And I suppose, how did you know that it was something that you had to do? And then as an outsider, how did you do it? I know that was like four questions in one, but can you just walk us through that?
Okay. So in terms of, I guess I'll go through like my story a little bit and how that led to Our Side. So I think, first of all, I was a little delusional. And in this case, it turned out to be a good thing. I think I didn't know enough about like all the pitfalls of what would come. And that was probably good. But in terms of the whole scent thing and for me, like how that started, and then I can talk about the catalyst that led me to create Our Side. But I think I had one of those childhoods where literally like when I stepped in the classroom in second grade, moving to Ohio from Winnipeg, Manitoba, which was already like weird anyway, I just knew I didn't belong. And my mom never let us wear name brand clothes, like all of those things that I was just different. And I never fit in anyone's box. And we packed the different kinds of foods at lunch when everyone got their Lunchables. Like, it was just that kind of vibe. So I always was that kid who was just like looking for escapes. Like, I used to figure skate, I used to read a lot. So for me, escapes was the thing that made me happy. Spending time with my family made me happy. But one of my lasting escapes was story and scent. So we burned candles a lot on the weekend, or my mom would cook Jamaican food sometimes. And for me, I just started to daydream a lot, but a lot of those daydreams happened to have scent as part of them, but I never did anything with it, did the whole corporate world. And then it was all these little moments that I think culminated into creating Our Side. So I had conversations with my sister because she was getting headaches from a lot of traditional fragrances, but felt like within this quote unquote clean space, I say that because it's like a misnomer, but within this space, I felt like a lot of fragrances gave up a lot in order to be conscious in terms of their ingredients. And I felt like that wasn't okay. I also felt a lot had changed in the beauty and skincare and hair care landscape, where you see all these people of color creating for people of color and like all of these kind of different possibilities of what it means to be you. But in fragrance, that hadn't happened yet. And I was like, somebody should be doing something about that. And then we're like, maybe I can do something about that. So it shifted from the somebody should do something to be like, okay, why can't we do that? I think that was it. Then I was in a place in business school where I got this little grant from Harvard, and I was like, yes, I can learn more, I can do this. And then one thing snowballed into the other, and I got really fortunate in terms of the perfumer that I work with. He's based in the Bronx, and I really wanted to work with somebody in the US, somebody to show that although traditional perfumery and grass is amazing, like all these people have other stories connected to scent and memories and experiences from a lot of different cultures and a lot of different places. Like, why can't we bring that to the forefront? That's the long-winded story of how it came to be. But I just wanted to create this space where I could bring my outsider self that's a little weird, a little quirky, and like where it felt real for me. And for me, scent is that language that we can share where there's way less right and wrong about it all. Because there is, you could argue about like you tap or dab or rub or whatever. Right. There is no right or wrong way to wear a scent versus applying eyeliner. Right. And for me, it's very freeing in that way. And so it's a language that I use to bring my dreams to life, pretty much.
That's so cool.
It's so cool.
Wait, so how did you go about finding a perfumer?
Through the grapevine. In terms of a lot of art, this stuff, I was messaging people on LinkedIn, you know, got into, got into an accelerator using the alumni database from my like colleges. Yeah, I had never used those before, but like finding anyone and everyone who was tied in to like fragrance, learning how the big fragrance houses worked, learning that they have scent libraries where if you're a small brand like me, they're probably going to give you something off their shelf and pretend that they tweaked it for you.
Yeah.
Right.
All of that kind of stuff. And I talked to quite a few. This one was through the grapevine of a mentor who introduced me to someone who introduced me to someone. They didn't have a web page. They only work from referrals kind of deal. And I was like, okay, this is interesting, but could be fine. And I think Daryl, our perfumer, was like the first guy who, when I told him my vision for what I wanted in these scents, like the no list of the ingredients that I didn't want, but how I still didn't want to compromise on the fragrance experience. And I wanted our scent to have this depth and all of these really specific ideas I had for these first three scents. He was the first person to say, okay, and why do you think that way? Instead of, okay, but it was like, okay, and people are like, why do you say that? Tell me more. And so that was how I knew that, okay, this is somebody that I think I want to work with. So it was a leap of faith for sure, but so far so good.
That's so cool. I feel like the best people that you work with, or like in my experience that like I've met, it's like always word of mouth. It's like always like a friend of a friend. Like they're not like advertising.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think it speaks volumes that, you know, before where the big fragrance houses were like, we don't really want to pay you that much attention. Now they reach out to me and I'm like, no, I don't want to pay you attention. So it makes me feel good. But I love having someone who like challenges me and who also, because I don't have the technical background, is okay with me describing things in not technical ways, but also pushes me to continue to learn more. So I think I really appreciate that as well.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah. It is so funny how like fragrance briefs can be anything from a visual mood board, a specific smell, or just like a feeling. What a wild thing to have to like creatively interpret and be like, okay, I think I've got the smell of your like high school prom. Like, sure.
Yeah, right. Right. There's something in your story that stuck out to me as I was trolling my way through your website and everything. You say that you combine unique experiences with familiar ingredients to create unconventional fragrances.
Yes.
I just want to say
that. What does that jargon mean?
Like unique experiences with familiar ingredients. Like I get what you mean. And I think it also goes back to how you were describing these scents with feelings and places and memories, because we haven't named a note yet, which is great. We love that.
Right.
But what does that mean to you? You know what I mean? Like, how did you bring that to your perfumer?
That's a good point. So I think I'll name some notes now because like
you don't have to. That's not what we're.
No, it's good. I know that a lot of your writing I know doesn't have that. I've been a scent, like I've been reading for a while. But I think, since there's such a spectrum when it comes to fragrance, you have your everyday sandalwood scent and where brands have all their iterations of a certain fragrance that seems to be copied in many different variations. And you have the whole very experimental side. For me, it was like coming to our perfumer with wanting to create something new, having very specific ideas around a couple of hero like accords and notes that I thought would smell good together, but literally like I had dreamed up. And for example, in our nostalgia scent, we have jasmine, but I would say like it's a very not powdery jasmine. It's kind of animalic or whatever you want to call it, but it's creamy and woody and sticky almost. And I wanted to do jasmine in that way, like in a very different way where for me, a lot of the jasmine scents I could think of were like these powdery scents from like the 80s, like Joy and whatever. And I never thought I liked jasmine until I smelled it for myself. And I was like, why can't we create something, a new experience with jasmine? Why do we have to make it in the way that everyone always does? And so I think that was me coming to our perfumer and him being okay, or me being like, okay, like I want Palo Santo in our moon dust scent, but I don't want it to be totally smoky. Like everyone goes the woo-woo route. That's cool. Mm-hmm. But there's already fragrances there. So like, I want this to be like crisp, but also earthy and a little heady, but also grounding. And I want to create that juxtaposition. So that's why I want a cooling spice in there, like peppermint or like anise. And I think it's a lot of the, okay, why do you see that? We can try to make that happen. And so for me, it's that idea that these aren't notes or chords that haven't been used before by any means. They're used across a ton of fragrances, but it's coming to the drawing board saying like, why couldn't we interpret mint in this way? It doesn't need to be super harsh. It can just play a small role in this fragrance. And so that's like how I think about it.
Oh, I love that. You know what really caught my eye about our side from jump is that you do use a lot of mint and peppermint in your fragrances. And I feel like that is a grossly underused note. And so when I saw that, I was like, okay, all bets are off. I need to smell these. It's non-negotiable. And you do it so well because it's as much as I would, and I do love a literal mint scent, it's also not that. You feel it more than you smell it, which is really nice.
Oh, that's a good way of putting it. Yeah, I would agree. I feel like it's that feeling that you get from mint or like a cool day when there's like that cold breeze or something, rather than it literally smelling like a peppermint essential oil or candy cane, which there's a time and a place for that. But yeah, I think to your point, that's a really good way of putting it. You feel it rather than just smelling it. Yeah. Because it's all about the vibe that it creates. That's the other thing for me, probably because I don't come from a traditional fragrance background. The notes and accords obviously are really important. The composition of the fragrance is supremely important. But for a lot of people, there are so many iterations of rose. So if you say you like a rose fragrance, what does that really mean? Is it that you want your fragrance to place you in a garden? Is it because you think rose is romantic? What does that mean for you? And yeah, for me, I agree. It's like how it smells, but like the how it smells is part of creating this like whole feeling and vibe.
Wow.
I remember when we met outside of Marta's party, and God, what was that like?
That's a while
March,
back.
May?
Yeah. I don't know. One of the two.
Yeah. I remember you, I was drunk, but I remember that you told me that they're created and manufactured in the Bronx, right?
Yes, in the Bronx, in the South Bronx.
Yeah. And Did you say that you were the only, you gave me some soundbite that I can't.
So quite... the manufacturer we use, they're the only perfumer manufacturer filler that's in New York City that's left. Some people that's do what it was. Some yes. components, but they're the only ones that do it all. They're family owned business. They're dope. Yeah.
I that's can't so make enough cool. of them. Oh my yeah. God. I feel.
It's crazy that there's only one.
Yeah. Whoa. In New York City. Yeah, yeah. I know. So that's why they got to hold on to it. Yeah. They're cool. And I love it because I get to learn so much. I love getting to visit there. I love getting to see how they work together. Just like dropping by. I can take the 1 to the 7 to the 4 or 5 and literally be there in an hour. For me, it was really important. I'm not from New York, but to do things in a community-oriented way, since I think that's like important to me personally. And I think if you think about like businesses and where we have opportunity, I wanted people to be paid a living wage. So I wanted to work with the person that I knew paid people a living wage. I wanted to economically like give back in my own way to the community like that I want to support. And so that's why we do stuff there. I think that's why we make our packaging like in New Jersey. So I want to keep it all close and community oriented for as long as we can, since we are small now. So like, why not be able to live out that part of our mission?
Do you consider, because I know that you said that you grew up and you bounced around as you grew up, but do you consider our side a New York brand?
Yes, I think so. I totally claim it for New York, even though I didn't grow up here. But I think New York is that perfect juxtaposition of where the city and the natural kind of clash. We live in this kind of concrete jungle, but we crave just a little bit of green and nature way more than I think we actually would if we lived in nature. And I think that our scents play with that idea of having 1 foot in the city and 1 foot somewhere else. But I think also in terms of why it's important for me that we make our fragrances in the Bronx, I think so much of fragrance's legacy, again, is like this very elitist thing. And for me, it's not that you can't continue to make amazing scents in these countries, but it's like, why can't more people have the chance to showcase what they can do? And so I feel like it's an especially like awesome thing that we're like, I'm creating something wonderful and luxurious and amazing, and I'm doing it in the Bronx. So no, I don't have to look a certain way. I don't have to be a certain way. I can do it here and it can be amazing. And so I don't want to have to conform in order to be what you perceive as high quality. And I think I just wanted to flip the narrative a little on that as well. So that's why it's important for me that we do things the way we're doing them.
Absolutely.
It does, even like the packaging and the shape of the bottle and the type, it does read to me like a very New York brand. And I say that as somebody who grew up here, but that almost doesn't matter just because the whole cultural landscape has changed so quickly since then. But there's something that's it's simple but bold, which I feel like is a very New York City aesthetic.
Thank you. That was the goal. I wanted it to be simple and streamlined, especially since like I'm trying to not put like a ton more waste into the world. So it's like we use recycled glass and I don't have a huge, like wonderful, beautiful molded bottle because like I can fit our fragrance into a smaller bottle. So like, why not?
Yeah.
But I wanted it to be like sleek, but also a little quirky. And so that's why we have the lime green. That's why we're bold and unapologetic to say we're here and we're showing up. We're not screaming in your faces, but we're just saying we're here and we're confidently standing our ground. So that's the vibe I wanted. So I'm glad that comes across. Thick.
It really does. And you mentioned green a minute ago. Mm-hmm. And I know you meant that in terms of nature as it pertains to New York and all that. But I've been thinking and talking a lot lately about branding and component design and how I feel like in the last couple of years, every brand has a statement color that you recognize it from, which is really great because I'm so tired of my vanity looking like a pharmacy. But now it's so much fun, but it's like now everyone has a color.
That's true.
I love that the R Side logo is, it's not really chartreuse, it's not really lime green, it's not yellow, but it is this like searing yellow green. And how did you come up with that? Because it is, you have this beautiful lacquered black austere bottle and then you have this bright ass label.
Yeah.
Can you just walk us through that a little bit and how color plays into it? Because you even glance at our side and you know it's our side.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's part of it. So I work with a branding agency because literally like my creativity stops at fragrance. It pretty much stops there. I can tell you what I like, what I don't like, but I couldn't draw it up. I'm a horrible artist. But I think what they really helped us to create was something that felt like I wanted it to be like if we flop loud and big, but I want people to be able to see us when they look on a shelf. I think there are a lot of beautiful, conventionally beautiful, pretty brands out there, and they probably do that better. That's not me. That's not how I come to life. That's not the person that I bring forward. And so I wanted it to be like, if you're looking on a shelf of fragrances, like, oh, what is that thing that catches my eye that invites me to learn more? And I can either love it or hate it, but I want people to have an emotional, visceral reaction to it rather than, oh, that's cute. That's the death of us. It's, oh, that's cute. It's, no, I didn't put all that time and effort into making this awesome fragrance for you to be like, oh, that's cute. So I wanted it to be bold, but that's why we also do have more brand colors. So like that, as we evolve and mature as a brand, we have a kind of like powdery light blue, and then we have a tan, so that as we expand our range of what we're doing, we can be more than just that. But I do want it to be something where people take a second glance. So you're right. That's what we're there for. That's why we did it.
Totally. I have this big ass shelf of perfume, and it just, in the best way, screams at you, because it just is like, what hey. It is. Right. I feel like right now, I was just talking about like color and whatever, but that is more, I feel like, in makeup and skin. But I feel like in fragrance, everyone is going the Byredo route, which is fine. No shade. Sable and I joke like everything's like black text on a white label, which is of course not reinventing the wheel, but it's nice to see someone take a different approach that works. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. Sable girl.
I feel like we really got through it all.
We really burned through everything. Yeah. This is, Kata, is there anything like you feel like we're leaving out?
I don't know. I was just so excited to be on here. I was telling Sable, I was very excited and nervous because you're both so awesome and like funny.
Oh my God.
And I was like, can I keep us? I don't know. But this has been so much fun. So no, I just wanted to be able to talk all things scent and like life and our side with you both. And yeah.
What's been the most surprising or whoa moment you've had since launching Our Side?
Ooh, that's a good question. Yeah. I think we've been pretty fortunate. Obviously, we've had our ups and downs, and what's like that whole, what's the saying about a duck where they look like they're floating on the whatever top of the water, but they're paddling? I feel like that's the vibe where the headlines are good, but I'm like, oh my God, the day to day, like, it's a roller coaster that sometimes I wish I could get off. But I think we've been like pretty fortunate. We got a lot of good press, which was like super exciting. And we're in Credo Beauty, which has been amazing. But I think beyond those kind of expected highlights, for me, it's like when we get a customer email and someone's, oh, I love your fragrance. This scent changed my everyday mood. Mm-hmm. Like I haven't worn fragrance for a long time because of X, Y, or Z. Sometimes it's sensitivity to scent. Sometimes they stopped wearing fragrance when they were pregnant. Sometimes they had a divorce and they had a signature scent before that and they wanted something different. Yeah. And so like for me, it's those unprompted emails where it's someone that being like, oh, it's like a mood booster. Like it changes my entire day. And that for me is like why we do it. So I think those have been the great moments, and starting to see our little community getting bigger and coming to life. I think that's also been really rewarding because you always hope that you're doing something that resonates and you never quite know. So you need that very real feedback. So those are the days where I'm like, okay, I can keep going. I can keep doing this.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, that must be so cool.
As a small brand, I feel, it seems from the outside like everyone is D2C right now. Mm-hmm. And it seems like no brainer because you cut so much overhead and so much unnecessary bullshit of the retailers and the Sephora's and whatever. But I was going to say not specifically to Credo, but you just mentioned Credo. Hey, but how is like the in-store experience for you? And is it important as a small brand?
I think it is. I think it's why we have our little discovery kit, so that if you can't make it to a store, you can still experience us, test something before you commit and feel like you get a little taste of us. But I think a lot of people still like only shop in person, especially when it's something like scent where you can't swatch it online. So, so I think it'll always be an important component. And I think we'll expand our retail distribution. I just want to make sure I do it in a way where we can handle it. I think the saddest thing for brands is when you take on too much too soon and you're like, oh my God, I'm floundering. So for us, it's like finding a way that we can do it meaningfully. If I could speak to like our vision for 5 years, like I would love to have one flagship where we can test and experiment more and get a lot of feedback from people real time. I think it'll always be like kind of like half and half, kind of wanting people to come and experience the website and the world that we get to create on our own, but also being able to test and experiment and find us where they might not have before in retail.
It's It's great. The site's really good, by the way.
Yeah.
Like I said, I was trolling around it, and the two of us do this all day.
Yeah.
Both write and shop. So we're on both sides of it. Yep. And I was looking at the site, I was like, damn, really nailed it. You'd be surprised. I mean, you wouldn't be, but you look at these brand sites, and it's like, this is a mess. What are you, people are buying from you? Please.
Yeah. I wanted the story to come through. So I'm glad to hear that.
It's really tight. It's really nice. It's really nice.
Thank you.
Tell the listeners where they can find our side.
Yeah.
Okay. So we are at ourside.nyc on Instagram. We're not really on TikTok, but our website is www.ourside.nyc. If you DM us on Instagram, it's literally me responding. So feel free to send me a message, tell me how your day is going. But yeah, I'm really excited to hear from you all.
I can't believe there's only one perfume bottler, filler, maker in New York City. That is crazy to me.
Really crazy. I wonder if it's just solely because of the space.
There's space here.
Yeah, but
there's industrial areas.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I don't know.
So wild.
Well, it's funny to me because, I mean, you
maybe
think
maybe they'll
of,
make my book merch records.
Yeah, shout out, right? Yeah. I know that depending on what kind of beauty product it is, there are certainly regions that you go to. If you're doing complexion, you go to Italy. You can make really beautiful lipsticks upstate New York. But I didn't realize that fragrances like this were happening in the Bronx. That's so exciting.
That's awesome. Wow. You smell you later video documentary component. We'll visit the factory.
Yes. It's so fun to hear from someone that does have a sort of atypical approach to how they got into fragrance and a unique vision, and then how they really all were able to successfully bring that together, because that's not always easy to do.
Dude, I think the execution is on point.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like someone's going to launch a fragrance brand and it looks very craft fair.
Oh my God.
Which not to shit on that.
Yeah.
It's just very considered. And with fragrance, obviously, the thing that you look for the most is the actual scent and if you like it or not. But packaging really does matter. Mm-hmm. And when people are getting to know, or even just getting people interested in the scent or the brand. So that must be so much pressure.
And the fact that she only, I swear to God, I know this brand hasn't been around all that long. I get that. But I was very familiar with just even the idea of our side by the time I met Keita early this year, and it hadn't been out for that long. I swear it was out last year at some point. Maybe they were teasing, mm-hmm. or because Marta, I think, does something with this brand wise.
Air milkshake.
Yep.
I believe they were in her gifting suite. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so good to connect with her and learn more about that. And this approach and take on fragrance is so exciting. And it's very cool to be able to drop into it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Amazing.
Thank you for listening to yet another episode of Smell You Later. I promise I will become more interesting in the smell zone soon and stop complaining about my side. If you want to go to our website, you can find us at smellyoulater.live, you can find our merch, or you can leave us a little voice message at the hotline. You can follow us on Instagram at smellyoulater.mp3. I'm at Sabletooth Tigra.
And I'm at Tynan Buck. And until next time, we will smell you later. Oh, that was a good one.
Yeah.